This last Sunday of Advent, our gospel presents a different annunciation of the birth of the Messiah. Now, normally when we think of the annunciation, we think of the angel Gabriel appearing to Mary. But Matthew instead presents the angel Gabriel going to Joseph, focusing there on Joseph. That Joseph is essential to the Christmas story, an important example to each and every one of us. Joseph was of the house of the lineage of Abraham and David. He's a link between the old covenant made with Abraham, marked by the blood of the circumcision, and then on to David, being that descendant of David. He's that link between that covenant of Abraham and David, and then the link between that perfect covenant made by the blood of Jesus. That he brings to close David's physical kingdom, the physical promised land, and sets the stage for the opening of the kingdom of God established by Christ, made visible in the church, in the true promised land of heaven. But when we hear this account, we have to ask ourselves, why did Joseph decide to divorce Mary quietly when he discovered that she was pregnant? Why did he need assurance of heaven to take her into his home? Joseph is described as the just man, that our English translation puts it as a righteous man of the gospel. It's this title that's key to understanding why Joseph decided to divorce Mary quietly when he discovered her pregnancy. And for Jews at the time of Christ, this title is one of the highest compliments a person could receive, could be given. Then describing Joseph as a just man, Matthew demonstrates that Joseph was remarkably faithful to the covenant that God had established with his chosen people. That his observance of God's law was motivated by that same love promulgated it. That in fact, by calling him a just man, Matthew is saying that Joseph participated in, manifested God's loving fidelity to the covenant in all of his relationships. That Joseph's justice is a sharing of God's very justice and holiness. And Matthew indicates that Joseph decided to divorce Mary quietly, precisely because of his justice, because of his righteousness. And throughout the centuries, there's been various interpretations presented to explain why Joseph made this decision to divorce Mary. And there's three explanations coming from the ancient church for this decision. That some have held that it's because Joseph suspected Mary of the sin of adultery. Others propose that Joseph, aware of Mary's holiness and chastity, was profoundly befuddled, confused by her pregnancy, and decided to step aside. And then still others suggested that Joseph, fully aware of the divine origin of Mary's pregnancy, feels himself unworthy to be so close to God's mighty work, and withdrew in holy fear and reverence. So we have to ask ourselves, did Joseph suspect Mary of adultery? That according to this first interpretation, Joseph, suspects Mary of infidelity, consequently decides to end their relationship. That his justice, it is said, is derived from his desire to fulfill the Mosaic law. That the law of Moses went and said, if a virgin was found to have committed adultery, that she would be condemned and stoned to death. Okay, so we can imagine what that scene looked like. Joseph finds out that Mary's pregnant. Decides that she's committed adultery. Suspects her. Accuses her of committing adultery to her face. And he goes and thinks to himself probably, if I hide her sin, I am fighting against the law of God, which I keep. This is what I am known for doing, of being this good keeper of God's law. I must expose her sin, keep God's law. That according to this interpretation, Joseph, in discovering Mary's pregnancy, judging her to be an adulteress, decides to divorce her, to keep that law. According to the law, Joseph had that full right to demand a trial to determine whether Mary had or had not committed adultery. That then it would result in her being stoned to death, according to the law. But then that begs the question, if Joseph, considered just, that good keeper of the law, that exemplary observer of the law, why was his strategy then to bypass the full force of the law by quietly divorcing Mary so that she would not be stoned to death for her violation of the sixth commandment? There's a contradiction that exists there then. That contradiction at the heart of this interpretation then leads us then to the next interpretation. Was Joseph confused? St. Jerome held that St. Joseph, without abandoning his trust in Mary, was profoundly unsettled because of her pregnancy, decided to step back from their relationship. How could Joseph be considered just if he concealed the guilt of his spouse? And what speaks in defense of Mary is precisely the fact that Joseph, knowing her chastity, marveling at what had happened, buried in silence a fact whose mystery he did not understand. That Joseph was unable to judge or suspect the virgin harshly because he knew her virtue, knew her holiness, but could not understand how she was pregnant. That he withheld all judgment is what this interpretation goes and says. That he's unwilling to expose her, but doesn't have because of a lack of sufficient knowledge to be able to judge it. That this interpretation doesn't make sense. How can you say that if Joseph is a just man? That can a man be called just because of confusion? Especially when a woman is pregnant and an unborn child is involved. That would Joseph be considered just by abandoning Mary if he were uncertain and confused over the origin of her child, even though he is convinced of her moral integrity? It doesn't make sense. Which then leaves us with that Joseph is awestruck by the mighty act of God. That this goes and shows that Joseph, seeing that intervention of the Holy Spirit, believing in what has happened to Mary, is filled with holy awe over God's mighty act. That he decides that he's unworthy to be so closely involved in the work of salvation, knowing his own sinfulness. That his decision to divorce Mary quietly is based on his sense of his own personal unworthiness, his reverential fear of God's presence and work. That St. Joseph is just precisely because of his reverence for Mary, for her child, and above all, the heavenly origin of Mary's pregnancy. And for St. Joseph, living with Mary and her child would be tantamount to setting up his carpenter shop in the Holy of Holies of the Temple of Jerusalem. That it would be like us establishing our house here in the sanctuary of our church. Or that we're going to live here in the sanctuary of our church. That's what it would be like for Joseph, to take Mary and her child into his house. That we wouldn't do that. We'd realize we're not worthy to live here in the sanctuary, in that immediate presence to the tabernacle. We're sinners. That's what Joseph is saying. That he's considered himself unworthy. That to have that intimate closeness to God is inconceivable to a Jewish person who sought to meticulously fulfill the requirements of the covenant. This attitude of holy fear is then conquered by an angel from heaven to reassure Joseph, the just man, that Joseph was just, the virgin immaculate. When he wished to put her away, this happened from the fact that he recognized in her the power of a miracle, the vast mystery that he held himself unworthy to approach, humbling himself, therefore, before such a great and ineffable phenomena, a vast mystery, he sought to retire. As St. Peter humbled himself before the Lord, saying, "Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man." Or you can go and think of that centurion who confessed, who sent word to the Lord, "I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, for I have considered myself not even worthy to come to you." Or as St. Elizabeth put it to Mary, how have I deserved to have the mother of my Lord should come to me? In like way, the just man Joseph humbles himself, looks to himself, and fears to enter into union with such exalted holiness. This is why Gabriel comes to Joseph in that dream, And another way to put what Gabriel goes and tells Joseph is that Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary, your spouse, to your home. For certainly that which has been begotten in her comes from the Holy Spirit. But she will bear a son for you, and you will give him the name Jesus. Then Matthew shows that Gabriel did not come to Joseph in his sleep, either to dispel suspicion that Mary had committed adultery, or to clarify the perplexity over the source of her pregnancy. Rather, Gabriel was sent by God to assure Joseph that although he has this fear, has this reverential awe in the face of God's almighty work, that this is pleasing to God, but that God nonetheless willed that he wed Mary, adopt her child as his own. The angel visited Joseph to confirm him in this conviction that Mary's child is indeed of the Holy Spirit, to assure him of his vocation to wed Mary and thereby adopt Jesus as his son, to give Jesus to be known as the Son of David, as his surname, to be that adopted father. It's saying Joseph is just because of his profound reverence for the wonderful work of God accomplished by the Holy Spirit in Mary, and his humility on face of such glory. In a certain sense, Joseph's humility is a reflection of God's humility in condescending to become flesh, to dwell among us sinners. That even though Joseph decided to draw back is not to interfere with the plan of God, which is coming into pass in Mary. That Joseph goes and obeys that explicit command of the angel, takes Mary into his home, while respecting the fact that she belonged exclusively to God. The account of Matthew shows us that what ought to be the authentic Christian manner of accepting in faith this mystery of the virginal conception of Mary. In this sense, we could say that Joseph, the spouse of Mary, furnishes us with the example of the very first acceptance of this mystery by his attitude of faith, his humility, and his respect. And thus, his comportment becomes a model for all of us to follow his example of being that most chaste spouse of the Blessed Mother, to see that he invites us to recognize in Mary the mystery of the action of God. That yes, Joseph is essential for Christmas. He's essential for our celebration of Christmas. Take time for silence. That Joseph does not speak one recorded word in the Gospels. Find quiet time each day. Read the Gospel stories about Christmas. Look at a manger scene to dwell on it, to dream about what it would be like to be there with the Holy Family for the birth of Christ, for the birth of our Savior. Reflect on your own righteousness, on your own justice in the light of God. Are we right with God, with others? Make time for that self-examination, for repentance and confession. Consider the gifts of those you love, of what give we can give to each other, to be the very best of who we are in our relationships with others, the best husband, the best wife, the best parent, the best child, of honoring them, of answering our Lord's call to be his holy people, of saying yes to our Lord as Joseph did, to give him that yes, to not be afraid, to follow the example of Joseph and Mary in giving our yes to our Lord this Christmas.